Today's first reading is from Luke 12. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. The second reading is from Revelation 3. Listen, I am standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. The word of God for the people of God.
Matthew, thank you very much. Appreciate your reading for us this morning. I invite you to take out your sermon outline. As you place your hands on this, a couple of things I want to reiterate and share with you. One is a follow-up to the announcement in the verbal or the video announcements earlier. Next week's sermon series that we're beginning is really a vision message for 2020. It's going to be a message of vision for our church, not only for the coming year, but the coming years. And I hope you'll be here. We're going to focus on the metaphor of Jesus of going the extra mile. Think about how that metaphor can shape our actions, behaviors in the year. And like I say, years ahead. So I hope you'll plan to be back with us next week. And then secondly, I put in my Friday email this week that in the aftermath of the massacre at the New York synagogue last weekend, we are making available a letter to send to our neighboring Jewish congregations in northern Indianapolis and Carmel. And we've already had hundreds of people email a desire for their name to be added to those letters. But we also have copies of the letters on a table in the gathering area. So after worship this morning, if you want to add your signature, feel free to go ahead and do that. So there are three letters are there at the table. I will be taking those letters to the rabbis this week as a show of our solidarity and our standing together and our support for our Jewish brothers and sisters here in our community. Last of all, I just want to say thank you for being you. Anybody ever tell you that? Thank you for being you. Thanks for being a great church. We had an awesome Advent Christmas series this year. Yesterday, a lot of volunteers were with Jim Morrow, taking everything down, and that is so much work. But they give so much time. So many of you gave a lot of time in many ways, and you're just a great church. It's a privilege to be your pastor and to be with you and to start this new year today. So as we begin with our message this morning, would you join me in a word of prayer? And now, O Lord, illumine our minds to hear and understand your word, to open up our hearts to what you would say to us, and to offer you our lives, to make of us your blessing for the world as you desire. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, in this social media age of acronyms and abbreviations, one of the newer ones to come along is WOTY, W-O-T-Y. Have you ever heard of WOTY before? It stands for Word of the Year. It's become popular in recent years because people make a WOTY part of their New Year's practice. Rather than a resolution, they select a word that they want to make a part of their year to focus them in the year ahead, to guide their behaviors. Some popular WOTYs in recent years have been words like happiness, balance, gratitude, what it means to kind of have a word to live with and to guide you. Well, thinking about all of that recently, I got to wondering, what would Jesus' WOTY be for us in 2020? I mean, we don't really know. It's not like Jesus ever says, this is my word to the church. However, there's a place in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus offers a thought, an idea to his followers as something he wants them to live with every day for the rest of their lives. You could take that idea and condense it to one word. And the word is open. Open. Jesus offers this thought in the context of servants who are waiting on their master to return from a wedding feast. Now, Jesus probably chose that analogy because wedding feast in that day and time lasted for days, sometimes weeks, and you never really knew how long it was going to last. So if you went away for a wedding feast, you didn't really know when you would be coming back home. So Jesus invites his followers to live their lives spiritually with an attitude of being like servants who are waiting for the master to get home. They don't know what day it's going to be. They don't know when he's going to get there, but to be ready. And he says this powerful statement, open the door to him as soon as he comes and knocks. Open. Well, that's a good St. Luke's word. Our mission statement begins, we are an open community of Christians. Openness has always defined the life of this church, but what does it mean to think about it with that spiritual perspective? To be open to his coming, to open to him whenever he comes and knocks. Bob Goff, in his book Love Does, talks about his days as a lawyer and the advice he would give clients when they were going to be on the witness stand. He would say, now, when you're talking and you're sitting there in the chair, put your palms open on your lap. Don't clench your fist. If you'll keep your palms open, it's going to be hard to lose control. It's going to be hard to get mad and get angry and get out of hand. Keep your hands open, always. Now think about that. When are times that you clench your fist? For me, it's when I get mad. I clench my fist when I get angry. I clench my fist when I'm stingy. When I'm holding on to something and I'm afraid if I let it go, will I have enough? I clench my fist. I clench my fist when I regret something. Oh, wish I could have that one back. Wish I could have that putt back. Oh. I clench my fist when I'm disappointed. Oh. Doggone it. Think about what it does to your spirit when you clench a fist and when you open a hand. Try it right now. I want everybody, clench your fist. And I mean like clench them. Put some energy into it. Hold that fist right now. Clench your fist, and I want you to think about how does it change and impact the way you're listening right now. With a clenched fist, are you sitting there thinking, I dare you to say something I agree with? And now relax it. Open your hand. Do you feel something change in your body when you just do that simple little action? That maybe you're more receptive, you're more open. I mean, it can be life-changing just to open your hand. You know, I believe more than any resolution you make this year, more than any goal you set, perhaps the most impactful thing that could happen to you this year is to live your year being open, and specifically being open to God whenever God encounters you. What does that look like? Let's think about a few possible ways we can be open to God when God comes and knocks. Certainly one of them would have to be open to hearing God's voice. Open to hearing God's voice. I got an email right after Christmas from one of our newer members thanking me and our staff for the Advent series, Searching for Christmas, but he particularly wanted to thank me for a message, Doing Whatever It Takes. He said, that's kind of my story, and he told me a little bit about it. I condensed the email in a tight fashion, so I didn't, I'm not going to read all of it to you, but this leads to a great statement I believe this person makes. On November 17, 2011, I was lying on the floor of my apartment, slowly waking up from another drunken bender. I had been an everyday drinker for over 6 months and a binge drinker since I was 17. I was convinced that alcohol and poor decisions were my only option for coping with reality. I had struggled with identity issues my entire life, and then he goes into sharing specifically what those struggles were and how he felt condemned by the church, not our church, but other churches. As I was waking up from the blackout, I felt sick. The room was spinning and I could not stand up. I laid there and in the still quietness heard a voice ask, "Are you done yet?" I was alone. Nobody was in that small apartment with me, and yet I heard that question as clear as day. "Are you done yet?" I sighed and looked up at the ceiling through tears and said, "Fine, we'll do this your way." The next day I checked into Fairbanks and been sober ever since. And then this statement: becoming willing is the key. The moment a person is willing to open himself to God, God shows up. Think about that in light of Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, "Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me." There's a famous portrait based on this scripture. You see it, Jesus is standing and knocking on the door, but do you notice something interesting about this picture? There's no doorknob. There's no doorknob. The artist was making a theological point. The door can only be opened from the inside. That's how it is with God. God comes knocking, but God never forces his way in. We have to be open to receiving God's presence. What would it mean for you to be open to God's voice this year? Would it mean maybe a more intentional focus on your prayer life, to spend more time listening to God? If you're going to hear that voice, you'll need to put yourself in a position to listen. Maybe reading scripture and understanding how God speaks in a fresh, amazing way to us through these old, ancient words. Maybe it'll be a commitment, a goal, if you will, to be in worship a certain number of Sundays this year, to increase that, to be a part of a small group. You know what? Even something as simple as this, keeping a sermon outline log, putting together a notebook in which you collect these. I have always said what's more important than anything I write on here, it's what you write on here. That's why we make them available. When you experience God saying something, and you might not even think it's God, it's just an idea. It's a random thought that comes to you. But often, that's how God speaks. And you capture it, you write it down, and you come back to it. And you realize, wow, over so many weeks, I've started a significant conversation with God in my life. What might it look like to be open to hearing God's voice? Well, here's another thought. In terms of being open to God, to be open to the encounters God might bring to us through other people. Open to God encountering me through others. God often does that. When God encounters us, it's often through another person, but what does it look like to be open to it? Let me tell you a quick little story about my week after Christmas. Susan and I took our three daughters, who are all grown and living their lives now, for a week together to Aruba. We don't get a chance to be together as a family much anymore, but why in the world did we go to Aruba? Because many months ago, Susan said to me, "This year, after Christmas, I want to go south." And I said, "I'm okay with that. Brown County is wonderful this time of year." She said, "I want to go souther." So we ended up in Aruba. We get down there and we're a block away from the beach. And so the first day there, we walked over to the beach and I noticed all of these permanent cabanas on the beach, permanent structures with this thatch kind of roof that would provide shade. And for this overly Caucasian boy, I needed to have shade during the daytime. So I asked the fella who was working there at the beach, you know, he would provide chairs for a fee and that kind of thing, "How much are the cabanas?" He said, "Oh, sir, the cabanas are free." I'm like, "Free? Well, we'll be under one of these cabanas every day." He said, "Oh, but you better get here early in the morning because they get taken very quickly." And I said, "Well, if we can't get a cabana, what else can we do?" He said, "Well, I provide an umbrella for you. The umbrellas are $35 a day. So you can pay for an umbrella with chairs, or you can get here early for a cabana." So you can see the umbrellas on the beach. And so, you know, it's vacation. I can sleep in, wake up, pay $35. What's the big deal? Get an umbrella. Or get up really early in the morning, schlep all of the chairs and the towels and go down so that we can have a cabana. Now, those of you who know me well, which do you think I chose? The cabana or the umbrella? I never knew that many of you knew me that well. I got up early every morning to get down there and get our cabana. That's exactly right. These things are free, people. You got to take advantage of it. I mean, I get up 6:30 in the morning. It's still dark. I'm down there getting our cabana. So one morning, I get our cabana, go back up for breakfast. The girls are ready to go to the beach. They head to the beach. I say, well, we got our cabana. I want to take my time. Finish breakfast, finish reading, head down to the beach. Now, when I get to the cabana, that's ours. The girls are there, and two other women are sitting under my shade. That is a violation of beach ethics. There are territorial shade rights from your cabana. They didn't get up at 6:30 in the morning. And I'm looking at Susan like, what are they doing here? Susan's like, you know, don't worry about it. So not a word was said. I sat down 1 foot next to one of the women, never spoke, pulled my book out, started reading. Now maybe I offered some nonverbal communication that they might want to go and find their own shade. And eventually they got up and packed their chairs and walked off. And I thought, finally, our family can have its own space because we don't get this very often. And then, doggone it all, after they walk off, I begin to feel God nudging me like, you weren't real polite just then. And then God said, if I wanted to encounter you today on the beach, how do you think I might do it? And I thought, just like that, because that's the way you act, God. You're not always polite. You're the kind of God who invades people's space without their permission. And then you want to know whether or not they're going to release their shade that doesn't really belong to me anyway, and be open to how God might want to encounter me. If this might not even be an issue for anybody here, it might be just mine alone, but it is mine. I got to work on that this year. Because God often encounters me through people when it is not convenient. When I've got things on my mind, when I've got stuff I've got to do. It's usually in those times when God shows up through somebody. What does it look like for you to be open to God's encounter through people? Here's another one. That if we are open to God, then surely it's also going to mean being open to releasing my resources. Being open to releasing my resources. The closer we get to God, the more we are challenged to loosen our grip on things in order for us to put it in God's hands. And God never takes something from us. When God blesses us, God doesn't then take it back. God gives us and says, it's yours. You can do with it what you want to. You can keep everything I ever give you for your own self-satisfaction. I'm not going to tell you what to do with it, but if we're going to share it, we have to choose that. God doesn't make us give. God invites us to give. I celebrate that this is a very generous church. So many people here sacrifice so much for the work of our church, for the work of our community. But you know what? This has been an interesting year. For the first time in my ministry at St. Luke's, this was the first year in 2019 that we did not have a surplus. Our income did not meet our expenses by about $250,000. That's the first time it's happened. Every year when we have a surplus, we take the surplus and we put some of it maybe into a need in our facilities, a mission cause, and we use the surplus to give our staff bonuses. And we're not able to do that this year. We also have been far enough behind our pledges for 2020 that we're looking at needing to cut our budget, depending on how we finish out this month. We believe, of course, that one of the significant contributors to this whole issue has been the static that's happened in our United Methodist Church over the past year. I mean, our church has taken a very definitive stand. We've always been an open community, but this year we took openness and we defined it a little bit more. We said we're not just going to be open to LGBT people walking in our door and sitting in our pew. We are going to advocate for them. We are going to say everybody in the church ought to have the same rights and the same privileges. It's cost us. I've had many conversations this year from people who've said, I can't stay anymore. I can't be in St. Luke's. And there's been a financial price to pay. Some people would say, you see, you're wrong. That's why you're paying the price. But our leadership has held fast. They say, no, we don't believe that. We believe we're doing the right thing. And sometimes when you do the right thing, it comes at a price and at a cost. But we believe it is right. We believe it is an expression that honors God's vision for the church. If we did not believe it, we wouldn't do it. But we believe that. I tell it to you today just so that you know what's going on in the church. It's reality. We want to be transparent. We want to be open. I also tell it to you to say that for some who maybe haven't turned in their pledge yet and maybe are thinking at this point, it probably doesn't matter anyway. No, do know. It matters a great deal. Some people maybe are looking at their pledge and their anticipation of what they're going to give this year, and they're going to say, I can do better than that. My goodness, as I look at what my investments did this year, I can give more. Just know. It would make a great deal. Here's what I want to say to you today. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. You've heard the last of it from me about 2019 funds, about 2020 pledge campaign. I'm going to let God knock on the door of your heart and let everybody decide how they respond, because this is what I've always believed. Where God guides, God provides. And I believe God has guided St. Luke's to be the kind of church that it is, that started back with Carvin McGriff when he had the guts to get up one Sunday and say, we're going to welcome gay people in St. Luke's. And we've been a church like that ever since. And I believe it was for such a time as this. We are going to be a leader of our denomination. We are going to return to our full support of the United Methodist Church. And this year, some things are going to change in our church. We're going to become a more open denomination. And I believe God's going to take care of us. So I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I offer it to you today to say, as we get closer to God, God will say, if you really believe in this kind of work, just open to me. Now, what would you add to this list? You can finish the sermon here. What other expression of being open to God would you put down on there? If you're going to live with that word open this year, what would that mean for you? The last one I would mention deals with the very context in which Jesus told the story. And it would mean being open to God's assignments. The analogy Jesus gave was one of servants and a master. So being willing to serve is a significant part of being open to God, to be open to God's assignments. But notice what happens when the servants open the door to the master. Truly, I tell you, he, the master, will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. What a reversal. The master will serve the servants. And Jesus says, that's how it works with you and me. If you'll open up your life to let me serve other people through you, I'll serve you. I'll give you joy. I'll give you meaning. I'll give you blessing. I'll look out for you. One of the greatest prayers I've ever prayed that captures this whole spirit of being open to serving is the Wesley Covenant Prayer. Early in the days of Methodism, John Wesley invited Methodists at the start of a new year to pray this prayer every year. They had a whole service designed to renew their covenant with God. And if you keep this prayer with you, and you pray it a lot this year, it'll change your life. Somebody here this year is going to face an experience where you got jumped over for a promotion, and it's going to hurt. Somebody here is going to have a family member say something to you that really hurts, and it's going to be hard to let go of. Somebody here is going to have a disappointment. It's going to be easy to hold on to that disappointment. But if you pray this prayer, it'll change the way you face those times. So I want to close our message this morning as we get ready to receive communion by standing and joining together in this prayer. And then I would invite us to remain standing as we then bless and consecrate the elements for communion. And then we'll be seated and prepare to receive together. So on your bulletin at the bottom is the Wesley Covenant Prayer. It's also on the screen as we prepare to say this together. Let us stand. And let us pray in one voice. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt, rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside by thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.